Many of us will be getting together for Thanksgiving, if only by Zoom, but many of the homeless will do so without a place to stay. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. With the coronavirus, the homeless can find themselves in close quarters, either in shelters or on the streets, which can spread the virus. And many homeless check off the boxes for the conditions that lead to being more susceptible to the virus. Anthony Dickerson is executive director of the Christian Shelter here in Salisbury, and he joins us this morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Don. Good morning.
Good morning. So, let's start off with the virus here because it presents some unusual circumstances for you, particularly in terms of the shelter, in terms of taking them in. What is the situation like, at least at this point, for you guys?
Well, we're excited to announce that we, since the start of the virus, we have had no positive cases of the coronavirus because we make sure we follow the CDC guidelines to make sure that everybody is safe. And so I'm excited to report that nobody has tested positive. And we've taken important steps to make sure that our guests, our staff, and also volunteers that may come in the shelter to make sure that they are safe too as well.
What kind of precautions are you taking?
Well, we're excited that we partner with the health department before our guests allowed to enter the shelter. We require them to take a COVID test, so they have to take the COVID test. Also, once a month, we make sure our staff and also the guests are tested for COVID, and we're looking to possibly increase that to every other week since the numbers have increased throughout the country. So again, we just want to make sure we keep everybody safe. We do take temperatures. We do practice social distancing. Everyone within the shelter, they do wear the masks. We do sanitize the surfaces. We've got our guests sanitizing the surfaces periodically. So those things that we put in place, I believe, has worked for us, and I think this is the reason why we've been successful during this whole pandemic.
Does this also limit the number of people that you can take in, or have you adapted?
Well, it's interesting that you would say that or ask me that question, because I just got off the phone with the representative of the governor's office to find out, can we operate at full capacity or do we have to operate at 50%? And so we're still waiting to get an answer. So until I get an answer, I've basically been operating within 50%. We can hold 72 people total. So I said we'll take in for starters until we get clarification from the governor's office. At least I'll take in 35 people.
What does it mean if indeed you're having to cut it by 50%? I mean, what happens to those people? What do you tell them to do? I mean, is there some other place they can go?
Well, I'm excited to announce that we've pulled other shelters in, the Diaconia in Worcester County, the Lower Shore Shelter in Somerset County, and also the Samaritan Shelter. And we are the executive directors. We meet once a month and to see how we can support each other. So any event that I'm full here, we may recommend them to the various shelters in the area. And we do have a strong, we're developing a strong partnership. So I'm excited about that, because before we had to actually stop taking guests in. When the pandemic first hit, we had to stop taking guests in, and we had to turn numerous of people away, which really that was a sad situation. And I didn't want to repeat that activity.
So at this point, I mean, are you optimistic that the shelters will be able to handle then the number of homeless that are out there, particularly since obviously one, it is getting colder, but two, they are more susceptible, as I indicated, to this virus.
Oh, absolutely. I am very optimistic that we'll be able to handle between the shelters and, of course, they're still developing the cold weather shelter. Then I also understand in Ocean City, St. Peter's is going to be hosting a cold weather shelter. They'll be able to host at least 20 individuals. So I'm very optimistic as we prepare for the cold weather that we'll be able to accommodate most of the individuals that want to stay in the shelter. Now, some of these individuals don't want to stay in the shelter because they just don't like to obey rules.
So how have the homeless been handling this, certainly psychologically in terms of this virus? Because, I mean, it's a scary thing for most people to begin with. Everybody's running around wearing masks. We're doing a lot of social distancing. You know, people are not going out necessarily to movies anymore. Limits certainly on restaurants and so on. How are they dealing with this psychologically?
I think psychologically it has basically have an impact because, you know, with the homeless, people feel as though that the homeless may be more vulnerable to the virus. People will have a tendency to maybe shy away from them. I mean, some people already shy away from them because of their economic condition. And so I think this adds illness to the injury. And so I'm sure that it creates depression and anxiety because a lot of people say, oh, well, you're homeless. And then, you know, some people just have anxiety about this virus. So they see somebody homeless, they figure that automatically the homeless is already contagious.
Does this also then create a certain distance between the homeless themselves in terms of looking at each other and perhaps wondering whether or not this other person has the virus?
Right. I would say because, it seems like all of us have a level of suspicion, especially when the individual is not wearing a mask and so forth. So I think all of us have a level of suspicious and may and increase our level of anxiety, especially when we see people are not wearing their masks or may not be practicing social distancing.
And the other thing that struck me, and you were sort of alluded to it, is that obviously a lot of people are concerned about this virus, and I'm wondering whether or not it's also having an impact on the receptive, the relatives being receptive to having them come into their home for this during this period of time. A lot of times, particularly during the winter months and the holidays in particular, a lot of families will take them in for a period of time. Do you think there's going to be a reluctance to do that with given this virus?
Right, I think so, because a lot of people don't even want their own family members to come to their house, so let alone someone that's been out there that homeless. So we're seeing a shift in how things are going on in our nation.
In terms, by the way, of the children, how are they holding up in all of this?
Well, we are always engaged a conversation with my staff. You know, how do you feel? How are you? You're doing good. You need anything? So I'm always checking the status of the staff, and I make myself available if they need to talk or maybe if they need to take some time off because they're feeling that their anxiety level. So I'm always so. For the most part, it's been great here at the Christian Shelter because people know that that I'm concerned, and I enforce that. I said, no, you guys can't go here, you can't go there, you have to stay inside because I don't allow them to go to different places. And I think again, that's one of the reasons why we've been successful with not having any positive cases.
In terms of the virus itself, are there any situations that you try to stay away from in terms of the homeless, in terms of keeping them safe? Anything you look for? I mean, obviously, if somebody comes in or they have a cough or something like that, obviously, you're going to either have them tested or what have you. But, I mean, is there anything you look for in particular, or is there just sort of a general assessment?
We pay close attention to their cough, or if they feel like I got a sore throat or the symptoms. Now, one of the things that I did, Don, that I'm proud of is that I have a strict no smoking policy here at the Christian Shelter, so they cannot smoke on or off the grounds of the Christian Shelter. They have to literally go cold turkey. And because of that, we've had several of our guests, they got frustrated start, as over the period of time, they just stopped. And I've had probably about 4 or 5 guests have stopped smoking cold turkey.
So in terms of the population, do you think you're seeing also an increase in the number of homeless, given the fact that we're also seeing a major economic downturn? Lots of folks are losing their jobs, or at least have their jobs suspended, as it were. A lot of small businesses have either shut down or gone under. Do you see some of that in terms of an increase in demand for shelters?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's a lot of families that have been sleeping in their cars, and this is why we went on and we had some renovations done at the shelter, so we've opened back our family rooms. So now we have 5 family rooms that are available, because we're starting to see more families experience a level of homelessness. Again, families were sleeping in their cars. Some families were sleeping in the warehouse. And so it's a sad situation. It's heartbreaking, especially when, you know, children is involved. So that's really heartbreaking. So that's why I want to make room for more families here.
I mean, is there a certain psychological impact, particularly for families who say never expected themselves to find themselves homeless, and then suddenly, because of the economic downturn, they wind up at your door?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then a lot of people, when they come to the shelter, especially families who've never been here, their level of anxiety shoots up. And I try to put them at ease because, you know, since being the executive director, we're more or less a home setting. So I try to make the environment more or less home for, especially for families and for the men and for the women that stay here at the shelter.
Are there any families or people who stand out to you who have kind of really either dealt with this virus well in terms psychologically, or perhaps have not done so well in terms of handling it?
I think for the most part, our guests here have handled it very, very, very well, and a lot of them had no problem abiding by the rules of they can't go to certain places, because I think they really understand that I really care for them and I care for my staff. I'm impressed how our guests are handling this pandemic.
In terms of your staff, how are they doing? I mean, obviously, they come to the shelter, maybe even a safer place sometimes, I guess, than going out shopping. But obviously, they move back and forth, right, between your place and then obviously home and so on. How are they doing?
Yeah, they're doing well. When I need them to work overtime, they're very cooperative and really working overtime. They're not complaining, and they go beyond and above. So I'm so proud of the staff here at the Christian Shelter. I mean, they have acted like champions, and you know, that's why I told the board, I says we need to really do something special for our staff, of the hard work and the dedication that they have displayed during this whole process.
Now, of course, a lot of people are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. What do you guys have planned, and what kind of precautions are you taking in terms of making sure everything's okay?
Okay, what we do is we're excited that we have a whole family that is going to be volunteering. They're going to be preparing the Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving Day. So actually the family is going to be spending Thanksgiving Day with our guests. And so I'm excited. So they're going to be in the kitchen. Our guests will be in the dining area, but we're still be practicing social distancing. Our dining room is large enough where we can have everybody spread out. And so we're excited about that. And then we'll have the family to prepare the meal rather than to serve the guests, to keep that, you know, to keep it, to keep that social distancing. So we'll have them to prepare it, and then the guests, they'll just come and just pick up their meal. And we'll have the Thanksgiving feast. So I think it's going to be well. Then we have a church that's coming to prepare a Thanksgiving breakfast. And so we're excited about that. So we are blessed to have some volunteers who still want to be able to make that sacrifice, and they understand, you know, that we do follow the CDC guidelines. And so, but I think it's going to be a great experience.
By the way, have you seen any reluctance on the part of some people who, so for instance, may have volunteered to pass, but this time around they may pass because of this virus?
Well, some of them, you may not know, we have a lot of the season, I call them season population, that really did not want to take the chance to come to the shelter because some of them may have some underlying issues, and that was well to be expected. And so what we've done is we prepared our staff to do the word explosion piece that normally our volunteers conduct. And so that's my backup plan that I have. And it was well to be expected, because we didn't expect them to come to continue their devotional volunteering in the midst of this process, in the midst of the pandemic that is going on.
So does that put a strain on your staff? I mean, what kind of jobs or what kind of things that they perform, these volunteers, that now your staff is going to have to step into?
Well, not really, because that's one of the stipulations that we require these our staff before we hire them, to make sure they feel okay doing worship service. And so it's something that they do anyway. It's something that they love to do. So it makes it a little easier when you love to do it.
Right. By the way, the people, because we have this economic downturn, a lot of people are essential workers. I don't know whether or not you have, for instance, people who are continuing to work or not, but there are people who have to go to work, and whether it's in restaurants or in other jobs that are really front line. That is to say that they're out front and they have to deal with the public, or they have to deal with a number of people who obviously may or may not have the virus. They certainly take precautions in terms of masks and so on and so forth. But do you have people who are in essential jobs, frontline jobs, low-wage jobs that have to go out? And what's been your experience with that?
Let me see. I don't know. We are fortunate to have a COVID volunteer nurse who comes and volunteers. Matter of fact, she's responsible for administering the COVID test. And so she definitely makes sure that we follow the guidelines. Matter of fact, she came here unannounced, and she had to address it with some of the staff and address it with some of the guests too as well, which I was glad that she did that. And then she met with me and said, "Look, you got to make sure that you enforce this." And so, but for the other staff with other frontline jobs, I don't have many of that, many of those staff.
So are they then doing pretty well in terms of holding up to this kind of claustrophobic, I guess, life that we now lead? I mean, obviously many of us do that now. If we just go to the job and then we go back home and we don't, you know, maybe we get out shopping. Is it, what kind of impact does that kind of isolation have, do you think, on people?
Oh, well, we did have a couple guests that just couldn't make it, and so they said, "Hey, look, I can't deal with this," and so they went on and checked out. But for the most part, I guess that remains. They pretty much have been adjusting. They must have been adjusting to the stipulations that we placed. But again, you're always going to have the couple that says, "Man, I can't deal with this. I got to be on the move. I got to move."
Right. So what is it? So if somebody is outside the shelter, I mean, what is that experience like in terms of being homeless? And perhaps, if you have to, say, cut back, for example, so many of them may find themselves on the street if they can't get into, say, another homeless shelter. What is that experience like being out in the cold like this? Because most people don't have that experience. Most of us, we're cold getting from our car to our house or that sort of thing. But they have to deal with it all the time. What is that life like?
I can only imagine. I mean, I've never been out in cold, but I have been cold, and just going from door to door, I'm like, wow, you know, this cold out here. But I can imagine that someone has to live out in the cold for weeks. It will be challenging. Now, the thing is, if these guys have been ex-military, then I think they've been trained to survive here in the cold. So I don't know how many of homeless vets there are out there that have been trained to deal with the cold weather and how to survive in the cold. But, you know, again, especially with most of the men that are homeless, some of these guys have been homeless so long, I think they have pretty much managed to be able to deal with staying out in the cold.
In terms of the veterans, do you see many of them?
Yes, actually, we do have a employment veteran program in which I help veterans find employment. So we have a partnership with the Zion House, and so we're working together. Zion House, they work with the homeless veterans, and so we've kind of partnered. They partner with us. And so they refer some men to us, and we actually help them find employment.
So in terms, by the way, of staying at the shelter, is there some limit in terms of the amount of time that people can stay there, and what kind of efforts are there to, say, be able to find people maybe for a more permanent shelter?
Well, historically, the Christian shelter has been an emergency shelter. You can stay for 30 days, but since I've taken over the executive director, my approach was a little different. We're moving towards now a transitional shelter, meaning that we want to help these individuals to get back on their feet. I have instituted several programs here at the shelter. We do have a high school diploma program that we partner with Warwick Community College. We partner with Life Crisis. We have a domestic violence. We're going to be partnering with the health department, with mental health. We partner with Shore Up and also a local bank with our financial literacy. I'm getting ready to get my certification as a Christian counselor. So I'll be doing some counseling for the individual. So we've put in a lot of programs, so the minimum time they'll be able to stay is at least 90 days, and then we'll be able to reevaluate after 90 days to see what they have done. And every guest in here has to work on an action plan. And then I failed to mention that we do also have a computer lab. We've turned one of our rooms into a computer lab, and so I'm excited about that.
Have you had people then who have been able to, say, get their high school diploma or get a job, and what is it like for them when they finally, say, move beyond simply having to be in a shelter?
Well, I think they're impressed about the change, some of the changes that we've made. The gentleman that's in the high school diploma program, so he's excited that he's on the track to get his high school diploma. And these individuals now, they don't have to walk to the library and go to the library now, search for jobs. They can do it right here at the Christian shelter in our computer lab. So they're excited about the things that we have. Also, I have and I'm excited about this, I have a Xbox, a state-of-the-art Xbox for the children that they'll be able to play on the Xbox. And we use that as a team building program. We give each family a time. And after that time is up, and then we allow another family to come in and enjoy the Xbox.
How are the children holding up there?
I'm sorry?
How are the children holding up there? How are they dealing with this?
You know, children adjust. I mean, the children can adjust sometimes faster than adults. So the children are doing very well.
Yeah, they've been able to, say, connect with them, each other. Or do they bond a lot? What's that like?
Yeah, they do. You know, children, they'll make up games, and they'll find a way to survive. They're also able to go to the computer lab and to either play on the Xbox, or they'll be able to go on the computer and play different types of games. Also, they you know, a lot of them our schools now are virtual learning, so we've given them a space now where they won't be interrupted, that they'll be able to focus on their classroom lessons.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, by the way, we're now experiencing, a lot of students for that matter, experiencing learning by at distance, as it were, particularly for those who attend schools. We've had virtual classrooms, as it were. How is that working out in terms of their keeping up with their schoolwork or keeping up with their education?
It is working out, but it could be very challenging because I look at some of the children, and I think they need just a little extra, a little more tutoring, and so I'm beginning to see that, you know, we may have to look at possibly, you know, reaching out to the school to see if they can give us a tutor, whether it be virtual, whether they'll be able to come here and tutor them. So I'm noticing that some of the students are going to need a little more tutoring.
Are they just simply sort of getting behind a little, or is it just the lack of human interaction that we normally get, say, for instance, when we're growing
up?
Yeah,
the attention span, you know, because some people learn different. You know, some of these children, their attention span is not that great.
Right. In terms of their interaction between each other, I mean, what are the ranges, by the way, the ages? I mean, in terms of what your challenges?
We have newborn to about 10.
To how old again?
Newborn to 10 years old.
To 10 years old. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those young people then are in like 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, that kind of thing?
Right.
So how do they learn? I mean, what kind of, is it through some computer lessons, or how do they do that?
Yeah, they have the computer lessons, and then I think they have I think they use Google. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're using Google Meet, classroom, and then they have a teacher that pretty much facilitates the class, and then while they're listening.
So is it
they're doing their work?
Yeah. So there's a structure of some kind there, like you might have in a regular school term. How is that?
Yes, actually, virtual learning actually is through the school, whatever school that they go to, they'll log in, and then the teacher will begin to facilitate the classroom.
So, when you look ahead here over the next 2 or 3 months, two things obviously are at play. One is that we expect the virus to get much more widespread, perhaps even much more deadly. We don't really know exactly that, but those figures are going up. Do you think that with that, combined with the cold weather and the inability to get out and, say, get a job, although you obviously are doing a lot to try to alleviate that, what kind of outlook do you have then for the next few months? Because it looks as if the next few months are going to really be tough.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping, and I keep my finger crossed. I'm hoping that we'll go on another lockdown, really, to get this virus under control, because it's just got out of control. So I'm hoping that we'll go on another lockdown, and if that's the case, we'll make sure that we'll have some activities, creative activities that go on here at the shelter, so that individuals won't get frustrated, so that they won't get overwhelmed in the event that there's a lockdown. But the way things are going now to the next, I'm hoping that we will do, if not a state, a national lockdown, because I we need to get this virus under control.
Are you optimistic, by the way, that the vaccine might be in the offing? And if so, it's a little early and sort of looking ahead here, but what kind of prospects do you think they're going to be that eventually some of your people are going to be able to get the vaccine?
Yeah, we'll just have to look and see how it materializes, and then I'll just basically go on the recommendation of the health department to see whether or not that we need to move forward to make sure all our guests are vaccinated. So I will basically continue to partner with the health department to help us determine that decision.
Would you like to see your people towards the front of the line there?
Actually, I would. Actually, I would.
We've been speaking with Anthony Dickerson. He's the executive director of the Christian Shelter in Salisbury, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
This has been Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush. Thanks for listening.